All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. The message today is The Law of Truth, Part 2. It is August 22nd, 2021, and I'm Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve. And I thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our place. I thank you, and on our behalf. And, Lord, I thank you for his life of radical obedience, a perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to the death on the cross. I thank you that Jesus paid the penalty for sin and became sin-bearer, curse-bearer, bearer of the wrath of God, and bearer of your glory as well and utmost. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus was buried and he rose from the dead, as he said, and Lord, that this demonstrated that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has accepted the offering of Jesus Christ as a once-for-all-time offering, never needing to be repeated. And Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of the Word. Lord, that we would be sanctified by the truth. And Lord, that we would remain and be humble, Lord, that we would be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, that God would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace. And Lord, grant that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We ask that by the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus Christ to us, Lord, and the truth, O Lord, that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if one has entered the kingdom of God, having been born again, born of the Holy Spirit, then it is important to consider spiritual realities, the spiritual truths that operate in that kingdom. And the first one we're talking about is the law of truth. Now, we heard in part one from Malachi 2, verse 6, that the, quote, the law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. So God gives us a heart to follow his commandments, and his commandments are life, and they are also true. And that truth is to be in our mouth. It is in the mouth. And why is it in the mouth? Because it is coming out of the heart, and we are to walk according to that truth, in peace with God, in peace and uprightness. When we do, by our very words and by our very lives, we will turn many others away from iniquity. In dealing with spiritual realities, in dealing with truth, God has given us the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Likewise, God is sovereign. He is the one true and living God. And this is important. We're declaring this out. This is important for what's going on in our world right now, as always, but right now. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Okay. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in this holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 24. The invisible spiritual reality, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, is capable of visible physical effects. In other words, as in heaven, so on earth. Many people say simply, prayer works, and the word of God carries great power. What happens in the invisible spiritual reality, in the invisible spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, what happens there is capable of having visible and physical effects. So we need to know what that circumstances and things around us can change. We may adapt to our circumstances, but we don't have to accept them as the final reality. Why not? That is because we look to the Word of God and the promises of God. By faith and trust in the promises of God, proclaiming them, believing them, speaking them, living them, walking by them, we can trust God to change physical circumstances. Prayer changes things. And I remember in seminary, this Dr. Raymond was his name, one of my seminary professors, and we were talking about prayer and, you know, all the Bible verses about prayer and what have you, and different things about prayer. And he said, prayer changes things. And he said, that is very profound. Think about it. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. What things? Prayer changes things. There you go. Our residence and citizenship is in the heavenlies in heaven, but yet we live in the world. True worshipers, we learn from John 4, 23 and 24, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He is God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus did the will of his Father. Now, listen to some of these important verses from the Scripture. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, remember our principle. We have this prayer, as in heaven, so on earth. And we say it in when we do what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which is in heaven, or Our Father the one in the heavens one, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're just turning around that as in heaven, so on earth. As Jesus heard the Father speak, that's what he spoke. And as he saw the Father do, that's what he did. What he saw going on and what he heard going on in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm of the Father's will and of the Father's heart, that's how he operated on the earth. As in heaven, so on earth. We pray this all the time, as I said, and all we're doing, again, is turning that around. And then let's look at John 8, verses 26 to 32. Jesus said, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world." They didn't realize he'd been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. And Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then over in John 18, verse 37, we read this. Jesus said, "He was standing before Pilate, and he said, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" So for what purpose is one born of the Spirit, and why did God provide a new covenant and give a new heart? For our answer to this, we turn over to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 36 and find in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, our answers. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Excuse me. "Well, why? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you or move you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." And then he goes on and says, "You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God." And as I've said many times in teaching, that phrase, "I will be your people, and you will be my people, and I will be your God," is repeated over and over and reinforced, and in Revelation, because all of us are in Christ, and I will be your God, and you will be my son. It's huios, my son. And it's singular because true believers are in Christ. "I will be your God, and you will be my people." You will be my people, and I will be your God. That is the essence of covenant relationship. And so, like I said, our job is to get with the program. God goes on to say that he will save us from all our uncleanness, that he will multiply the fruit of the trees, and it goes on and on. And he says that he doesn't do this for our sake, but he cleanses us from all of our iniquities for his own sake and for his righteousness' sake. Now, Satan is the father of lies and the prince of this world, and those who make lies are excluded from the kingdom. Let's just read from over in Revelation 21, verse 27. "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And come into what? Into the kingdom of heaven, or to the place where God dwells. And to read more on it, it is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. Lies and liars are not there. Why? because Jesus is truth. He proclaims the laws of the kingdom of God. He knows how heaven and earth work. He came from heaven, and he returned, and he's coming back. The invisible and the visible realms, he knows how it all of it works. You see, the kingdom of God is not in word, in the speech of those wise in their own estimation, or those puffed up. 1 Corinthians 4:19-20. But here's 1 Corinthians 4:18-20 in the Message. The Message is a paraphrase. It is not a translation, but it puts this passage like this. I know there are some among you who are so full of themselves, they never listen to anyone, let alone me. They don't think I'll ever show up in person, but I'll be there sooner than you think, God willing, and then we'll see if they're full of anything but hot air. God's way is not a matter of mere talk. It is an empowered life. And that's how the Message puts it, which is a paraphrase from 1 Corinthians 4:18-20. The unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that follow after the flesh do not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes on to say, because everyone is shut up in sin. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. God can lift us up out of the miry pit, out of that pit of destruction. And most Christians will tell you that they are forgiven sinners. They are well aware of their past and of their sin, and they know that our conduct is to harmonize with the profession of faith that comes out of our mouths. What we profess and what we confess should be what we live. We are to walk according to the truth, but we need to learn that truth from the Word of God and by abiding in Christ. We need to glorify God and attend upon the Lord without any distractions. We need to hear the Word of the Lord that we can know what pleases God. Change of heart changes our words. Change your language. Change your life. Remember, God has granted us grace to obey through faith in Jesus Christ, working by love. That love is a love without a lie. That love is true and does no harm. This is from John 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer. This is from the prayer that Jesus prayed, called the High Priestly Prayer. John 17, verses 11b, meaning the second part of it, verse 17 and verse 19. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are, that they may be one as we are one, Sanctify them with your truth, or by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we say amen, and let's pray. Father God, we come to you today, and Lord, we need truth. Lord, we are seeing lies and deceit, lying and deceiving spirits all around. We are seeing what results of those lies, Lord, for what is spoken out, the lies that are spoken out in the spirit realm fight against the truth. But the truth gives us freedom. And we must know the truth. And some say, Lord, the truth we know sets us free. We need to learn the truth, be sanctified by the truth. You are the true God. You are the one true and living God. And Jesus Christ is truth, Lord, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And so, Lord, you are true. The law is holy, spiritual, and good. And, Lord, what comes from you, your commandment is life. And, Lord, it all connects with truth. But, Lord, we just seem to be not able to find the truth because we're being lied to. Like so many times, people just lie. They tell you what they want you to hear. They think they want you to hear. They say what they think you want to hear. And all like this, Lord. And the world is a mess right now. Very chaotic. You're a God of order. We ask you to put things in order. Make crooked places straight. You're a God who comes in and you corrects. And that correction comes as part of the judgment. Lord, well, you're off here. No, you're not off there, but you're off here, or you're off here a little. Lord, we need that correction. We need that. And sometimes, and it is a word of truth. And so, God, we ask you today to change our hearts. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Renew our minds in the path of righteousness and truth. Lord, help us to submit to the law of truth. And God, so that what we see here in the physical realm aligns with what is true in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. And God, we give you the praise for these things. We give you the glory, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth into our minds, into our hearts, into our lives, Lord, and the power of your Holy Spirit. God, anoint us. And let the anointing destroy the yoke. And we will praise you, and we continue to praise you and bless your holy name. Thank you. We have a written word. And though we have to dig and we have to study to get to the truth, Lord, give us the desire to do that. Give us the stamina to do that. Give us the motivation to do that, Lord. Especially now, And it doesn't always come, you know, from this link or that link on the internet to somebody. It comes from the word of truth. Sanctify them by your truth, Jesus prayed. Your word is truth. This is what we need. This is what we ask for. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.